wish all of you a wonderful good morning. I wanted to request you to just take a minute time, just only a minute, to reflect on your own, what went on for you during the samsara prayers. And just go back and see, reflect a moment, what went on for you. Would any one of you like to share? Yes, this for the sound. Okay, please. Thank you. Maybe some of you were thinking, nothing special, I do this every morning, I switch off, I'm not there, I'm on mechanic automatic pilot. If this is your situation, we are trying to break this habit in the Japa retreat. Hare Krishna. So I want to now start with the first lecture. We have called it a discovery lecture. It's a little bit like Discovery Channel. The idea is that we want to make a point where you can really think, oh wow, this is new, I didn't know this before. So we have a text for you. Wow. Please repeat. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Chintamani Krishna, Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha, Guna Shuddho Nitya Mukto, Vinatvang Namanamino. Nama Chintamani Krishna, Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha, Guna Shuddho Nitya Mukto, Vinatvang Namanamino. The holy name of Krishna, this is the translation, the holy name of Krishna is transcendentally blissful. It bestows all spiritual benedictions, for it is Krishna himself the reservoir of pleasure. Krishna's name is complete and it is the form of all transcendental mellows. It is not a material name under any condition, and it is no less powerful than Krishna himself. Since Krishna's name is not contaminated by material qualities, there is no question of its being involved with Maya. Krishna's name is always liberated and spiritual. It is never conditioned by the laws of material nature. This is because the name of Krishna and Krishna himself are identical. This is the verse from which Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur has taken his title, Harinam Chintamani. The holy name is like a touchstone, or the touchstone of the holy name. Amongst those who practice any spiritual path, there's always a question. This question is, what practice is the most powerful? What type of practice brings me in the fastest or most efficient or surest way to my goal? And those who really have the burning desire to obtain their spiritual goal have put a maximum of emphasis on this question. What brings me there? I think some of you have made really glorious efforts to come here on the island. And at one time, when you were planning your journey, you must have asked yourself the question, what brings me there? What vehicle or what means of transportation? What road? What ferry? When do they go? Because you know, if you do not investigate this question, what brings me there, you will never get there. So those spiritual practitioners who really have an interest to obtain the spiritual goal of Krishna consciousness, they become scientists almost, mad scientists, they want to know so much. They will never be satisfied with superficial answers. With this question, what brings me closer to Krishna? Those who lose the goal of their lives out of sight, they become interested in other questions and discuss them with great favor, with great, the English word is fervor. Fervor means something like intensity. But the moment you think of what makes me come closer to Krishna, you will ask this question, what sadhana should I do? And how exactly, precisely, should I do this sadhana? This is the one question which becomes absolutely important and begins to almost, I will use a word, haunt you. Haunt means it takes possession of you. Should I go to Vrindavan? Should I bathe maybe in Radhakund? Or do you think I should? Should I maybe start to fast? first so that I become a little bit more intense and not so dull and tupko, you know, should I maybe go into the association? Should I travel maybe to India and live for 2 months in an ashram? Why not Chopati? Or no, better Krishna Balaram. No, I will go to Mayapur and take my bath in the Ganga. Is that the best way? You begin to really explore this question. Or maybe I take a course in the Vrindavan Institute for Higher Education and make a Bhakti Shastri because I don't know anything at this time of my life. No? You begin to think and investigate this question. What should I do? This is very important for you. When you have the goal in mind, and if you don't have the goal in mind, well, it's pizza time for you, you know. But you know, it's about this. I remember. Yes, this is an intense question. I remember last year something which totally impressed me. There was a sadhu, one of India's mega sadhus, I would say. He came by helicopter into Vrindavan. This is really a mega sadhu. When he speaks, my dear devotees, there are 50,000 people who listen to every word he says. His name is Murari Vapu. I thought, let me go and see how this is. I met him at a very important place. It was a yagyashal. He had made a place where there was a sacrifice, and now, listen, 120 sadhus were around this place, where a sacrificial fire was burning for the entire 7 days of his Ram Katha. And they were fasting. These sadhus were fasting. You could see they were a little, you could see it in the face, because this spiritual event which took place in Braj was meant to stop cow slaughter in India. The sadhus had become aware that India had become the greatest export country of leather and beef, that is cow meat. And they were concerned. So these sadhus came to this place of the sacrifice. They were drinking, they were fasting, but they were drinking only milk from the cows to highlight their firm allegiance to Mother Cow. And they wanted to make a sacrifice to create an auspicious atmosphere and counteract Kali, who was responsible in their eyes for this cow slaughter business. So it was a very serious meeting. They were really fasting since many days. And you could see when someone fasts, especially in the heat of India, you can see it was not pizza time for them. They had a spiritual goal in their mind. So I met Murari Vapu there. He was very concentrated, very humble, I noted. I thought, my God, if a sadhu comes in with a helicopter, maybe he is a helicopter sadhu. But no, he was not influenced by all this. He was a very, you know, very pious soul. And he then went to the place, which was a few hundred meters further down the dust path, where the katha or the talk or narration about Lord Ram would take place. But before he spoke, he had an ascetic come on the stage. It was a person who was really dressed in very shabby clothes, you know. You could see that it was all dirty, his clothes, from the, not dirty, but it was gray from the dust of Vrindavan. And he went up, he had his hair like, you know, like in the old pictures we see. So he went up, he was very humble to see so many people before him. And he asked a question to all of us. What is the best practice to bring us close to God? He asked this question. I thought it was a good question. Very interesting, I thought. This is my question also. And then he gave the answer to this question. Listen to his beautiful answer. He said, that practice is the best which purifies the heart from the ego. How do you like this answer, Akrura? Should I say it again? Yes. That practice is the best which purifies the heart. Wait a minute, think about it. That practice, he said, is the best which makes the heart, Cheshti, pure. Let us hear his idea. But it's very similar to what you say. He said, and of all the practices which purify the heart, glorification of Krishna is the best. And then he was crying, I cannot speak. And he left the stage. Very nice, very nice. He was moved. He was not talking. I was thinking about this question for a whole, of his answer for the whole month. Isn't it so true, I thought. The heart, it needs to be purified. You can do yoga exercises, you can do meditation, but if your heart remains full of material desires and full of material contamination, what is the use? In the yoga scene in Germany, many good first class yogis begin to understand this, and they turn to bhakti now because they want to clean the heart. Now, I ask you, my dear devotees, my dear friends, and my dear skeptics. No, today we don't have skeptics, I can't see. What of the processes of bhakti do you feel has the power to cleanse the heart? I would say only God can clean the heart. And here comes this verse into play, Nama Chintamani Krishna. In this verse it says that if you want to obtain the power of God, if you want to invite God, you have to chant his name. And what is the reason? Because his name and he himself are not different. Krishna can do the work of cleaning the heart. And he does this in his most merciful form, that is the holy name. Of all the sadhanas which is most powerful, you need the most power. That's very commonplace. And the greatest power is with God. Now, do you know which one of Krishna's energy is the king of all other energies? First of all, have you studied Krishna has many energies? Chit Vaibhava, Achit Vaibhava. It's a whole subject, you know. We can talk the whole day and the night about Krishna's powers or energies. Many, many, millions of them. But of all of the energies, there's one particular Shakti which is the strongest. Wow, and the learned assembly of the fasting yogis here. An answer has come about, which is to be praised. Some devotees said, Kripa Shakti. What's that? The Kripa Shakti, that is the right answer, the mercy potency of Krishna, is even more powerful than the Shakti with which he creates universes. Because with his Kripa Shakti, he can free us from the universe. He can break the chains only with his mercy Shakti. What do you think about this? It is a wonderful subject. And the most important and merciful, I want to come back to this. I could jump off this chair here. Potency of the all-powerful Lord can do the work. Of all of the Lord's potencies, Krishna's power of mercy is primary. Therefore, when you do kirtan and you invoke Krishna to come in the form of the holy name, you should know he never comes alone. He comes always associated with his Shakti. For instance, you know, it would be so nice to have the sun as a guest on planet Earth, but it's a problem because the sun never comes without its heat. That is a little bit too hot. You know, we are happy if the sun remains in a distance a little bit because its energies are so strong. We are not happy if God remains in the distance, because his energy is very soft. It's not burning. It is relieving. It's his Kripa Shakti. But just like the sun will never come alone, God never comes alone. He always brings his milost along with him, because that is intrinsical. It means it cannot be separated from the Lord. So the most powerful question, which is the most powerful sadhana, is that sadhana which brings us Krishna with his most powerful Shakti. The Kripa Shakti is the most powerful. And as this verse says so nicely in the last line, Vinatvan Nama Namino. It means, Bina means separated, Van means to possess. I will not pretend to be a Sanskrit scholar here. It means the name is not separated from the Namino Ho, that is the named or the person who has the name. It's the same with all its powers. Krishna comes when we chant. Now, this power, I always come back to this touchstone here. Wow, I really want to take this with me to Berlin. It's such a touchstone. The holy name is compared with a touchstone, because when you have, it is a very interesting. The touchstone works on something. You know, if I would touch this iron thing with the touchstone, which I'm not going to do, I will do this on the last day, then this thing transforms into gold. Today I don't do it, I do it on the last day. For dramatic effects. Because a Shakti moves from the stone, this is the stone, touches the thing, and then works, starts working on the molecular structure and perform and turns it into gold. The same happens in chanting the holy name. It's not your energy, it's the energy of the holy name which begins to touch you and your heart and does something in it. But there is a difference between you and iron. Iron is conscious and you are... No, wrong. Iron is unconscious and you are conscious. So the holy name needs to touch not your body, but your consciousness. Do you agree? That difference is there. But if it touches your consciousness, a miracle transformation can happen. And you know, yesterday I asked one devotee, was it all right the entering the retreat? Because when you do this like me, you always feel a little, I really want to give my best, I hope it's all right. And the devotee said, yes, but you were very forceful. And I said, look at my shirt, I'm still sweating because I have the feeling that you all need a transformation. At least that is why I feel you came here. You know, the pizzas will come with Tridasha Roy in 1 week, but you have come 1 week before the pizzas. It means you have a desire to learn something. I mean, I shouldn't say it like this. Our summer camp also we learn a lot, but I wanted to make the point. This is more like training. I really, really want to request you. It's so much on my heart that I really want you to make an experience with the holy name, which will answer all your questions and which will bring you forward. But for that, you will have to allow that the holy name touches your consciousness, your conscious mind, your conscious intention, that these subtle things which we as human beings, as conscious beings, all carry with us. And this will happen if you learn the art of doing kirtan. In the Bhagavatam, towards the end, Shukadev Goswami speaks about kirtan. He says, Kankale dosha nide rajan asti heko mahan gunaha kirtana deva krishnasya mukta sangha param braje. Although this Kali Yuga is an ocean of faults, there's still one good quality about this age. One good quality. Simply by chanting Kirtanat Eva Krishnasya, the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, it is said, one can become free from material bondage and be promoted to the transcendental kingdom. You can only become free from material bondage and Parambrajet, go to the transcendental kingdom of God, if your heart is purified. And the Bhagavatam makes this argument or makes this logic. The heart is like a piece of gold, and it cannot be purified or washed by water and not be cleansed by air. The idea is sometimes you find in gold some metals, no? Like here. You see, this is supposed to be like iron. When you get a piece of gold from the gold mine in Africa, you find other metals inside. And you know, you can wash this with water, but the iron doesn't go out of the gold. Or you can go for the rest of the retreat. There will be no change. So, but Krishna, in his form of the holy name, will act like fire, which will melt the heart, and then the iron will run out, it will separate. So the Bhagavatam says, the sadhana of hearing Krishna's name or chanting Krishna's name is therefore the most powerful, because it needs Vishnu, the name of God, to enter the heart with this quality of fire, yeah, and melt the heart to a degree that the, you know, what doesn't belong there, the contaminations or the additional things are just coming out. Only fire can do that. In the same way, only God can do this to your heart. I'm not sure if I explained it. Does it make sense to you, the argument? No? Ordinary things can't clean gold. You need fire. In the same way, ordinary sadhanas can't clean the heart. You need Krishna with his Kripa Shakti to enter there and purify it. Now, what is kirtan? Kirtan means, as we all know, to glorify Krishna, because Krishna is not identical with because Krishna is identical with his holy name, he comes through kirtan. But you will be interested, the word kirtan is traditionally not limited to singing with musical instruments the name of God. Prabhupada writes about this in the second canto. He says, kirtanam, or glorifying the Lord, can be performed in many ways, such as remembering Krishna, visiting temples to see the deities, offering prayers in front of the Lord, and hearing recitations of glorification of the Lord, as they are mentioned in Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita. This is also kirtan. It's interesting, isn't it? You can do kirtan just by chanting the Bhagavad Gita. And kirtanam can be performed by singing the glories of the Lord in accompaniment with melodious music. But of all different types of kirtans, which are kirtanat eva krishnas, they are Krishna kirtans, chanting of his holy names is considered the Shiv process, because it alone has the power to directly bestow the treasure of love for Krishna, and therefore it is considered to be the best of all spiritual practices. Let us summarize. The Bhagavatam says that kirtan of Krishna is the best means in Kali Yuga. This is a broad subject. Glorification of Krishna. It can take place when we just sit together and just talk about Krishna. You know, we feel that atmosphere. But because singing Krishna's holy names, says the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, I'm trying to make my case based on the Shastras, gives you direct love of Godhead. Therefore, it is considered the chief of all the process. You can get when you do Sankirtan, this is now the next thing we have to learn. By Sankirtan, this result of obtaining love of Godhead is easily felt. The names, what is Sankirtan and what is Kirtan? Kirtan can be done alone, but Sankirtan is done with many. If many come together, then we share in each other's ecstasy. You know, when someone gets a little spiritual, in kirtan, it influences the crowd. It is like this. We all know that Premamurti, that's the name of a devotee who is really is the best name for him, who always is like this. When he chants Hari Bol, or someone really feels something, the crowd takes notice. It somehow influences the energy of the crowd. It's almost like, let me say it like this: if you have a candle and around it many mirrors, the mirrors will reflect the light of the candle, and it gets added to the other, and the whole room can become full with light. The same way when we are doing Sankirtan, there are many devotees. They all bring their mirror-like heart to the practice, and the light of the kirtan becomes amplified, and it becomes reverberated, and it goes all over the place, and it can even penetrate through the sometimes dark heart of a newcomer. Can do that for him. So sang means together. And according to Jiva Goswami, Sankirtan, kirtan together, produces extraordinary devotional feelings. You can hopefully experience this because we have some nice kirtan leaders, and we will have reserved for you one day where we do 6 hours of kirtan. And by doing it together, you will experience something. Maybe you already start to experience something. My God, I'm with so many devotees. What is happening to me? You know, I'm feeling already something. You know, like this. You might already start feeling. The word Sankirtan, according to Rupa Goswami, means also, this is a second meaning, Samyak Kirtan, or total Kirtan. Total Kirtan. Kirtan totale. you could say it in a different way, proper Kirtan. Proper. Not wrong, but proper. And I would like at the end to ask the question, what is proper kirtan? How do I do kirtan in a proper way? According to Bhaktivinoda Thakur, this was discussed between Chaitanya Mahaprabhu on the left side and Haridas Thakur on the right side. Isn't that a beautiful image? You can see Namacharya Haridas Thakur with lotus eyes. You know, before Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explains to him, and then he says to Haridas Thakur. I don't want to explain to you. I want you to explain to me. You talk. You become my vocal cords. And you talk. And the Harinam Chintamani is what... So Haridas Thakur begins to explain her. When Lord Chaitanya asks him to talk, he starts to talk. Here Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is still talking, but soon Haridas Thakur will open his mouth and start to talk. And then at the end of each chapter, you know, he talks in 15 chapters, he says, I don't know what I said. You made me talk all this. I became your vocal cords. It reminds us of an earlier discussion between Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Ramananda Roy, where Lord Chaitanya said, I want to hear from you. And Ramananda Roy begins to talk. And then Ramananda Roy at one stage said, I don't know what I'm talking. You are the puppet player, and I'm moving according to what you make me move. Or you are the musician, and I'm the strings on which you play. This is the exaltedness of the spiritual discussion. So, to do something properly means to do it with expertise. And Haridas Thakur says, expertise in the practice of spiritual life and worshipping the Lord consists in chanting the holy name without committing the 10 offenses. Of what is all this? You will hear about this in detail during the days. The offenses are known to most of you, so I will not explain it here. It's something where you really do the exact opposite than worshipping. The Sanskrit name for offense is aparad. Apa means against, rad and rad means worship. It's against worship. You sit down, for instance, to chant the holy name, which is a process of kirtan or glorification, but then you do certain things whereby you hurt Krishna or Krishna's devotees. And this is totally antithetical. Imagine you say to a friend, oh, let us have a loving conversation. The friend sits down and then you say, you did this, you did that, and I don't like the breath which comes from your mouth. It smells like rotten fish on the, you know, and you are this and you are that. It's totally anti a friendly meeting, isn't it? And it hurts. So aparad is this which comes out of the false ego, which you bring into your spiritual practice, but which is totally antithetical to your spiritual practice. Unfortunately, we are full of these things because we are conditioned souls, aparad. No? It's with us as much as iron is sometimes sitting in the gold, you know. So when you sit down to do your practice, there are these aparadis with you. Some of us practice daily yoga, and it is said in the yoga tradition, when you go to your yoga, in modern language you say yoga mattress, because it has become an industry to produce mattresses and sell it, and they want to... But if you sit down, go to your yoga practice, something comes with you. And that is you yourself. What that means is your sloth. What is sloth? Sloth is your ignorance or unwillingness to do exercises. I don't know how many of you practice regularly. I have to do it regularly, but every morning I say, can't we just do something else, please? No, you have to now do this Pilates exercise and this yoga exercise, and then you are fit, otherwise you will fall asleep in a minute. So I do for 3 minutes before I do my japa. I have the power yoga thing where you fly in a second. So, but I know I always have to go against my nature, which is lazy, you know, to be lazy for these things. So in the same way, when you sit down to do your practice, you bring certain qualities which stop you with you, and you will have to remove them on your own. So expertise in chanting, according to this work, Harinam Chintamani, means to remove from your practice that which is against Krishna. You know, Krishna is willing in his holy name, in a most merciful manifestation, to come in your heart and do the work of purification. And now what you absolutely cannot do is bring in impurities, or bring in hurtful or offensive behavior. You absolutely have to avoid this. It's like if you want to clean and you bring some dirt on it while you clean, you know, how will it ever work? So you have to make a conscious effort to avoid these offenses. There is a text that you can chant for many lifetimes, but if you chant with the offenses, you will not obtain love of Godhead. Would you like me to read the text for you to be convinced? Bahu janma kariyadi shravana kirtana tabutana paye Krishna pade premadhana. If one is infested with the 10 offenses in the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, despite his endeavor to chant the holy name for many births, he will not get the love of Godhead that is the ultimate goal of this chanting. Birth after birth after birth. You can go to the, and do this practice and it won't work. My dear devotees, my dear friends, I am trying to chant because in my own life I have somehow found out, you know, it was when I was around 25 years practicing, I allowed myself to stop and see where are we now, Satchidananda Swami? Is it working for you? It was a question which I remembered when I became a devotee. I said, I will try this out for 1 year. If it works, I will stick with the practice. If it does not work, I will give it up. And I made this between me and Krishna. I went to the altar, was a young bhakta, foolish, immature and angry with the world. So I went to Krishna and prayed, let us make a deal here. 1 year I'm practicing this Hare Krishna, Hare Ram. I even wear this dress if you want, and you know, and take this crazy haircut, you know, the thing in the end, you know. I do this 1 year, not longer. And you know, and if I have the result, Krishna, prema, love of Krishna, then I stick to it. If not, goodbye. This is how I was, very immature. Hare Krishna. We come from North Germany, you know, we are not easy people. So, after 1 year, it hadn't worked. I was not full of ecstasy. I was very attached to prasadam, and it annoyed me. I was regularly eating too much. which I understood is an overcompensation of other desires. So I was feeling it's not working very well, but I do feel obviously there is something here which I have not yet. So let me give it another 10 years, I said. It's not so easy. I could see after 11 years that my old friend said to me, "You have changed so much." I said, "Really? I don't feel anything." But yes, you are no longer so aggressive. "Oh God," I said, "thank you for encouraging me." So I said, something is working. I don't see it in full. And then I had asked one of my friends, he is a very good psychologist, he said, "Well, you never see your changes in yourself. It's just like when you fly an airplane and you start and it starts flying, you can't see the exact moment when it leaves the ground, but someone who's looking from outside can see it. I can see you're doing very well." Actually, it was not my. It was Uncle Gerstorp. It was not a friend. It was an old guy who really knew. I said, "Okay, trying again for another 10 years. I'm doing this, you know." Then I looked after when I was around 25 years. I made it a little flexible, you know. And I was not so happy with my spiritual life. I really must admit to you, I was not so happy. I could see I was attached, I was angry, when a low tolerance level, because I come from such a social background where we would always talk bad about the other people, you know, terrible. You know, that was the main sport, you know, talking bad about others, and you know, and I could see I was dissatisfied here and there, and then I became really desperate. I wanted to find out what is the best practice really and how to do it. And it's a long story, and I don't want to bore you with a personal story too much, but I arrived at the Holy Name, and it became clear to me that if I want to do this properly, expert, then I must avoid the 10 offenses against the Holy Name. And that's a main subject of Harinam Chintamani. You will see, we will deal every workshop with one of the offenses against the Holy Name. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, or Haridas Thakur, gives a remedy against offenses. Do you know what is a remedy? How do we say that in Croatian? Liek. Yeah, like lieka, like the apotheker is lieka. Yes, I have seen. With my own eyes, I have seen this word. Yes, the remedy. It said, listen to this, Ananda Prabhu. This you will like to note down. Spend every waking moment. If you see that you have offenses, spend every waking moment calling out to the Holy Name with sincere feeling. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, like this. Huh? This will result in the destruction of the offenses. If you chant day and night with contrition for your sins, then all your offenses will be forgiven and your chanting will bear a fruit. You know, day and night with contrition. Brajabandhu, what is the word contrition? That's a difficult word. I had to look it up. The German word is Zerknirschung. You know, if that says anything to you. Ram Gopal is laughing because it's a really old German word. Das ich bin so zerknirscht, Mann. You know. Contrition means you're really troubled. You have a feeling that you are really troubled by the offenses. I really don't like this, that I chant with offenses. and you say, Krishna, please save me. This is how you get, then you're chanting, then you will be forgiven. When the offenses are gone, the pure name appears, producing first a transcendental feeling for Krishna and then ecstatic love. I like this very much, this remedy. It has informed my practice. I sometimes sit down and I go like, Sachinandan, oh my dear friend and my dear enemy. When I say friend to myself, I refer to that part of me who really wants Krishna. And when I say you are also my enemy, I refer to my mind, which is attached to Maya, you know. So I say, my dear, let's sit down, let's have a talk. Then I know already. Let's have a talk here. Why do you not feel feelings for Krishna? Why don't you have ecstatic love? What is wrong with you? I say like this. And then I say, I'm doing offenses. I'm doing offenses. Yesterday I did an offense against Mother Yanti, you know, when she shared with us and I said something which was not a good comment, you know. You know, and then when you feel, I don't want to do like this any longer. I want to be present in my chanting. I just can't tolerate any longer to be so absent-minded and to be so worldly, you know. I just want, then at that moment, because don't forget, you're calling Krishna. He comes and his Kripa Shakti starts to work. And you all of a sudden feel, my God, I'm so different. And you feel some feelings for Krishna. I mean, you won't go like, ooh, but you will you will have a more solemn feeling, you know. You feel, oh, really, I appreciate you. Oh, Krishna, I'm so happy that I have the chance to chant your holy name. And all of a sudden you chant from your heart, because what? The Kripa Shakti, the touchstone has worked. You know, it's a stone and it has a Shakti, the transformative Shakti. It goes like, and then it works. But you must avoid the offenses, and you must really work on that. That's up to you. Then you need to really bring out of your heart. And then the touchstone can work. And how this works, we will hear later in the discovery lectures. But are you all ecstatic in love of Godhead? Not always. Then the reason must be, I know, please don't defend yourself now. I know some of you are world masters in defending. You must commit offenses. There is no other explanation. No. I'm trying my best. No. You don't understand. I perfectly understand you. I'm like you. It is because you commit offenses, and you must be ready to face that fact, and be very. Then you will be expert in the bhajan. Hare Krishna. I have ended this first class. I don't talk now about the individual offenses. We will, you know, we have a whole retreat and we have a work, but I just want to make the point very clear according to this work which we discussed. By the way, whoever has made this picture, I know it was made before, but who has just made it so big? Hare Krishna Tavayati. No, I'm just greeting you. Haribo. And this looks so wonderful, and also that you have taken this from the original work and made it big, is it? And the altar, I just can't stop looking at the altar. It's really, really nice. Krishna. All right, I want to end here and want to see, do you have any questions to this lecture? Gaurahari's hand, I see. And your good name again? Okay. Mm-hmm. Yes. I think we will give you a microphone so that you can...
Thank you, Gomar. You were mentioning one solution for those offenses, and this was chant day and night with this feeling of repentance, or feeling, why do I do those offenses? Yeah. In the same time, we hear that only when we are tolerant like a tree and humble like the grass, we are able to chant all the time.
So how can we chant?
Yeah. It's the solution you give.
It doesn't work.
Yeah. So easy to perform right now. Do you have any other tips or any what can we do?
very nice question. When a doctor gives a medicine and the patient cannot take it, what good is his medicine? There are a few medicines where you need, you know, powerful Ayurvedic medicines. They need to prepare you first, because if you take the medicine when you are very, very sick, you just can't take it. The body cannot absorb the medicine. So Gaurahari says the medicine here against offenses is chanting day and night. But we know from the Shikshastakam, you can only chant day and night when you are humble and tolerant. So if an offender is by definition not humble and tolerant, he's just the opposite. So the medicine won't work for him. Have you understood his question? Haridas Thakur says here, you must chant not day and night alone, you must chant it with a certain quality that is, and here the word contrition is a very good word. Contrition means that feeling which even a sinner can have. To give you a little bit an idea about the mentality of a sinner, there are people who do the most terrible crimes, you know, like going into a schoolhouse and shooting all the children. You know, there are, you know, one of my disciples is a criminal officer. I have heard something. And afterwards they feel so bad that they kill themselves, because they have a feeling, I really did something wrong. Mm-hmm. So when you see that you do these frightening offenses, Haridas Thakur says, I'm frightened to talk about these, you know, I'm fearful. You can also feel, this is too much. Even though you may not be very humble and may not be very qualified, that feeling of, you know, I have blown it, can bring you to humility. The idea of humility or dainya rises due to four factors, and one is the recognition that you made a mistake. You know, that makes you even a person who otherwise is not humble, if he recognizes, my God. So in chanting, it can have, you know, this idea of, I have done my spiritual path, but I'm not yet ecstatic, I'm not full of love of God. It doesn't, that could bring you to the feeling, my God, I blew it. So I blew it means this is slang word. Means I, how do you say this in proper English? I think you understand. No? I really, you know, really made something. We might say, well, why this is, this chanting should be a joyful practice. Why do you bring now this intense mood to you know? You must know the answer to this is we are dealing with Krishna. We are dealing with the Lord in the form of His holy name. And when we, who's so merciful and so powerful, and it's like a personal relationship, you know, and we are not good in that relationship. Although He is good, we are not doing our part. And that's a serious thing, you know. That makes us think a little bit. But please don't worry. I found out in my own approach to the offenses that something in me is there which does not prefer to always think about them. Because I don't want to start with a negative thing. Don't do this. So we hear in Bhaktivinoda Thakur's writing that he models, he also thinks like this. He models the thing is always serve the Vaishnavas. He doesn't say don't commit offenses against Vaishnava. But sometimes it is good to create such a serious mood so that you really feel, I really have to leave this. You know, I really have to stop this. We will have one. I reserved it for the end, but you are all very spiritually and joyful. We have one, you know, one atom bomb lecture coming, you know, at the end. It's about Vaishnava Aparad. Because I know that is the big one in the Balkans, you know. But I will prepare you carefully. I will prepare you carefully. So you must have that feeling of, and anyone can have it when he sees I make a mistake. I think we all have. We are, you know, all sometimes we think, you know. Hare Krishna, thank you. Not just chant day and night, you can't do that. You can only do it if you come to that place. I recommend you find that word, contrition. It's a very, it's the right word. You have written it down and find it with a translator, because I also didn't know what that is. It's a rare word even in German. You know, when you hear German, Zerknirschung, you feel like, my God, this must be a heavy word, you know. Mit innerer Zerknirschung. It sounds so Christian, I know. Okay. Yes, Prabhu. Please wait, there's a microphone. Mm-hmm.
My question is almost the same. When we chant with this feeling of
contrition,
do we have to chant with this feeling all the time? Because we just have this feeling and begin chanting and then chant attentively.
Mea culpa, mea culpa. In the medieval times, there were these people who were wiping themselves, you know, whipping themselves. No. It's with the chanting should be done with ulasa. Ulasa means an inner joy. This is a recommendation of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. It's just when you want to approach the question, how can I do it expert, that it really, then you have to just make a little investigation. It's like, you know, a yoga, when you do yoga, you do it joyfully and you do it best is with a smile all the time. Most yogis don't do it properly. They go, they will only pump more adrenaline in their body and suffer terribly. It should be done with a yoga, no? Yes, I can. But sometimes it's good to watch your posture also, you know. How is this doing? Am I in the right position now? Or is it because otherwise you can hurt yourself? You know. So you chant usually joyful. Krishna's holy name. Ulasa. It's really said like this. Ulasa means a feeling of joy. Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna. The devotees are known as the happy people, you know. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. And sometimes when you see I'm not getting anywhere, you have to, this is called, you have to check, is everything going well? Is my relationship with devotees, is it all right? Or am I quarreling all the time? Or, you know, is this? You have to go through the checklist and see that your position is correct. Wie ist dein Name denn?
Jagadishwar.
Sprichst du Deutsch oder?
Ja.
Ja. Hab ich mir gedacht. Alright, anyone else? Ja, Govindanandan. I'm sorry, I saw him first, and then you're good, and then you, and then we're finished. We want to finish at 9 o'clock. Yes.
In your answer, you mentioned the four parts of Dhyana, and then you mentioned one that I admit that I made a mistake.
Yeah.
Can you say what are the other three?
I was thinking of Rupa Goswami's verse, who says these are causes. Causes, not parts. They are causes, Ursachen of that Dainya. I made a mistake as one. No, just. It's just, I have to go to that file in me and. It's like going through a huge bank in my case, and I have to find the exact Schließfach, you know, the exact thing. Yes, the other cause is the other cause is that you can see in the midst of the quality, good qualities which you have, you spot the disqualification which is there. Sometimes we are in the exact different mood, you know. We always want to see only our good qualities and not the disqualification. Yeah, I know, I have this, but no, but I also have to, you know, see this. We go like this. But this would be a reversal, a different mentality. And wait a minute. Oh yeah, and you feel there's so much mercy, but you are not taking advantage. That's the third. And the fourth, I can't remember. I'm sorry, but I can look it up and send it to you if I remember. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Thank you. I'd like to ask you for your advice, how you became the master for Kirtan, and for cleaning all anarthas amongst all guru, all others guru in the world.
You have misunderstood something. I'm really not a good kirtan leader. There are very good kirtan leaders, like Madhav,
for me.
Madhava, or Bhakti Pringa Govinda Maharaj or Lokanath Maharaj. They're much better, they're much pure, and I'm I know my spot very well. It is but it is not see, the reason why I give Japa and Kirtan retreats and focus some part of my research and my presentation on this subject is because I know I need it the most and I need to know how it works. It's only that, not because I'm accomplished in this. I always tell to the devotees, you must become scientists, you must be interested in this yourself. And we find out human nature is such that you are always most interested in what you need. You know, that is why I'm talking about it, not because I have any accomplishment in this. This is human psychology. You should know. Whenever someone speaks about a subject, is this subject concerns him the most. That is human reality. We always say, when you teach something, that's the best way to learn it. Those who teach know. So I think we have ended our morning program here. I thank you very much. This is a successful time for me. I'm usually over time, but here I'm 5 minutes before. Can't believe myself. We will hear now a little bit about the orientation of the day. Thank you very much for listening, and we all want you to experience, to have the touchstone experienced, where you can see how the holy name really works on you. And today we were discussing why it is the most powerful sadhana, and we also had to discuss why it, under which circumstances it will work. It only works when we become expert in the chanting. Okay, so let us